Yeah, we need to get him on. We're just talking about this Google diversity memo. We've got to get Don Imus on. I bet he has a few things to say about it. Steven Crowder is joining us. He also has had his run-in with Google and has some things that he needs to get off his chest about this Google memo. Louder with Crowder. Steven Crowder begins right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Steven Crowder, welcome to the program. I was talking to a millennial yesterday, a very smart, well thought out millennial, who said, you know, I don't agree with this, but I have to tell you what my feelings were when I first heard about this memo. She said, I don't like people telling me what I can and can't do because of my genetics. And she said, I heard the quotes that he was saying that I can't do these things because I'm genetically predisposed to X, Y, or Z. And she had a real problem with it. Now, the good news with this millennial is she moved past her feelings into thought, but that's not really happening, especially even in the press.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Glenn. You're absolutely right. A couple of points with the memo. I hate to use the fake news hashtag, but when CNN goes out and says anti-diversity manifesto, is what they call it, like it's the Count of Monte Cristo writing on the stone wall next to days in prison. It's manifesto, anti-diversity. And then it says anti-woman. Well, the quotes they take are where this guy essentially says that, listen, Google is pushing diversity hiring for diversity's sake, and it hasn't really been that successful. We may want to, and he even says, by the way, I'm not saying that all women or all men are the same. There's a significant overlap. Of course, there are people who would fall on both sides of the spectrum when it comes to attributes and perhaps some shortcomings. But as a general rule, this may be why we don't have as many women in tech. And he talks about how women generally value work-life balance over status, whereas men will drive themselves into the work themselves into the ground for status. It does say, women tend to handle stress more emotionally. It does list some characteristics that might not lend themselves well to high stress tech situations. But then, and this is what the media doesn't cover, on the flip side, he says, now, I strongly believe in diversity, and I think if we want to hire more women, we might want to place emphasis on the issues where women perhaps are more valuable to the company. For example, they're more cooperative. In general, they're more agreeable than their male counterparts. In general, they're more people-oriented. They're more empathetic. We don't really place a strong value on those attributes at Google in these positions. We might do better to do so. So, listen, is that still hate speech? Do you lock this guy up with the Nazis? I don't know. Leave it up to people to decide. But when you read the entire memo in context, I can't see, you know, Glenn, this is one of those issues where when I read it, I go, okay, this is a guy who's a classical liberal. He even gets some digs in at conservatives in this memo. If people read it, he's certainly not a right winger. And he's writing something genuinely trying to be productive, genuinely writing out points as to where Google may be able to improve. And Google says, we can't, it's hate speech. We have to fire this guy, which tells me if this guy can't do it, you and I haven't got a shot. They're not interested in a dialogue for the same reason we couldn't have anyone from Google or anyone on Google's side come on my program to argue this issue. They don't want to discuss issues anymore. They've gone too far around the bend.
So a couple of things. I would agree with you, and I have not been able to find somebody that can make a cogent argument on how this isn't the beginning of fascism in the Google world. The institutionalization of fascism in the Google world. I really want to understand how silencing somebody who is really truly making valid points, you don't have to agree with them, but bringing out a valid argument, how the best way to deal with that is to silence them and to shun them and to name call. That's fascism. And why this is concerning, you know, if they were just making ashtrays, I wouldn't really care. But they're not.
Yeah.
These are the people who are the gateway to information. And if they're saying this information isn't worthy to even be discussed at the levels in Google, are they really going to allow us schlubs who don't know anything to access that information in an equal and fair way? I don't think so. It wouldn't make any sense at all. Well, it'd be completely inconsistent.
You're talking about a company, as my friend Owen Benjamin talked about this on the program. He said, you're talking about a company where when you Google how to be a better man, it shows you articles written from lesbians. So, I mean, this is not a company. They can't help you be a better man, nor do they have any interest in doing so. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's funny that you mentioned fascism. Do you know that if you Google fascism, it says far right ideology, you know, and then description. But if you Google communism or socialism, there's no mention of left. There's no mention of the left side of political spectrum. It really is. And here's the deal. They have the right to do what they want. They have the right to fire this guy. I think we all agree on that.
Yep.
What they can't do is say, we believe in diversity. We believe in different opinions. And then fire someone for that specific reason. That's the issue here, is a dishonesty. When, like you said, I've read anywhere from between 60 to 80% of our online interactions occur either somewhere between Google, Facebook, Twitter, or Amazon. So when you think of how much information is controlled, it really is crazy. And here's what it comes down to. Listen, what was so offensive, are we really going to start firing people because someone says men and women are different? Are we at that point where it's offensive to say, hey, men and women, anyone who's married knows that it's true. And by the way, hey, men, and you can't say men and women are different. Men and women are exactly the same. Men can do everything women can do, and women can do everything men can do with the exact same results. By the way, let's celebrate diversity. Did I step into a time? What happened? What world did I fall into?
And the fact that women and men are exactly the same, except they can't play the same sport. That's unfair. You're going to put women, really? Women are going to have to compete with the men on the basketball? Well, wait, you were just saying that there's not even a biological difference. What are you talking about? I mean,
unless it's a transgender, then just let him in the octagon to beat the living daylights out of women. That's progress. I think, Glenn, I think this is a real the pendulum swings both ways. We've talked about this. You kind of see that with Bush, and then the anti-establishment sentiment from young people, and then it swung the other way with Barack Obama. But the pendulum is swinging so quickly now, and I think the left has gone too far for it to swing back. I think you're seeing too many liberals, and we see this with our content. A lot of people who used to be liberals going, yeah, I just can't get on board with this. Once they read the memo, people go, you know, it's offensive to say that men are more task oriented. It's offensive to say that women are more emotional. It really is at a point. And by the way, what it hurts people here is that they don't feel good about it. You know, the women took a sick day at Google. So they were so offended at the notion that they might find work too stressful that they needed to left this memo and took a sick day. And by the way, not all women are this weak, just the feminists at Google. That's important to note. I'm sure your wife isn't. My wife's reaction was so earnest. And it just hit me like a Mack truck. She just said, "Oh, I just you have to talk. I don't know. You have to talk about it. It makes me just so ashamed. Ugh, women who complain like that—they're just so weak. They're so obnoxious. Most women don't like to be around them. They're just draining." That's what my wife said. Isn't it ironic that a non-feminist, conservative Christian woman finds feminists to be obnoxious in their weakness? And that's where we are.
Well, that is the progressive mantra. Is weakness. Not celebrate diversity. Celebrate your weakness and we will compensate. We will be your defender. I think this millennial who said this, you know, that this is the way I felt. I don't like people telling me one thing. Well, wait. The other side is telling you that, oh, yes, you can do it, but only with special exemptions, only with special protections, only with special training. No.
Right.
I'm telling you, if that's what you want to do, go do it. Go do it. How is that offensive to say you don't need somebody in between you? That's just somebody sucking you dry of all of your power.
Right. Well, a couple of things. You know, they say, I don't like being told what I can and can't do. And then conservatives saying, well, listen, we're not really telling you what you can or can't do. But we can all find common ground on one issue, pull-ups. Right. Liberals want to lower the physical PT requirements in the military with pull-ups so that women can join more easily. And we say, hey, women biologically can do fewer pull-ups. So there's a great litmus test. As far as what's offensive, you know, offensive now isn't about intent. And we've talked about this with the Google algorithms, you know, for this, for the most advanced tech company in the world. Right. On my videos, Muslim singles and gay cruise ads are playing. And, well, we're trying to fix the algorithms. You're Google. If you can't associate proper advertisers with my – who can? So, I mean, we're talking about people feeling bad is what it comes down to with Google. It's not about intent. It's not about context. Google leftists don't really understand context, or they don't value context, I should say, certainly as a whole. And anyone can feel bad about anything. I'm feeling miserable this morning. And you know why? It's stupid, but I have some nagging injuries, so I haven't been able to go to the gym. So I've been doing these water weight exercises, you know, those foam dumbbells in the pool. And I was thinking, you know, hey, good for me. I'm going out. I'm doing something. So I go on Amazon to look to buy some as opposed to the public pool where I've been going. And then I read the reviews, and it's nothing but 77-year-olds talking about their aquatic aerobic classes. And then all of a sudden, Amazon is tracking with advertisements and the ads every time I'm in my browser are for reverse mortgages or Wilford Brimley with diabetes. And I feel bad.
I believe it's pronounced diabetes. It's interesting, though, on the it's a great point on the physical part of it, because it's exactly the point he made in the memo, which is, if you look at the top 100-meter times of all time, the world record holder for women is slower than the yearly best times for high school men. I mean, there's a clear difference here, right? However, what that does not mean is that the all-time world record holder is not going to be a hell of a lot faster than me trying to run a 100-meter. Point being that, right. Yes, on average, there are differences, but there are women in Google all the time that are outperforming men all the time. Hey. It's just a commentary on averages, and nobody's going to bother to take the time to look at that.
And why is it, who is it that is devaluing the basic intrinsic worth of the sexes? I'm not. I believe that women are from Mars, men are from Venus, or whichever planet it is. I believe that we are different for many different reasons. But it's important that we, oh my gosh, celebrate that diversity. That we look and say, this trait in a woman of being less about stuff is good. It's a good thing. Right. And at the same time, the man is worried about stuff or thinking about stuff. When you put those two together, you have a nice balance. Why are we trying to destroy? First, say that what men are has no value, and what women are naturally also has no value. You have to be this thing that is neither male nor female.
Right. Well, and, you know, and that's kind of, you know, I wanted to go back to Stu real quick. I want to answer that. But, you know, I'll throw another one into the mix. We talked about 100-meter dash. You want to know something else? Chess. There's a women's division for chess. Think about that for a second. It's not even close if you look at the top players of all time. There is no female Bobby Fischer. Now, women can enter the men's division in chess, and there have been some outliers, maybe a couple who cracked the top ranks throughout time. But then they have an exclusively women's division in chess, which is just significantly further behind. Now, that does not mean that women are less intelligent. Chess is not an indicator of intelligence, but it is. Let's remove the physical. It is absolutely an indicator of how someone's brain works, how it processes information. We can see the difference between standard people and ADHD people. We can see the difference between people who simply read differently, who have different faster reading comprehension. It doesn't mean they're smarter. Some people are wired differently biologically. And to what you said, Glenn, you know, Christians, we've used this term for a long time, complementarianism. You know, it goes back to Christ, really the first diversity celebrationist, I guess you'd say, where he said, hey, husbands, be good to your wives. That was kind of new, the way he really placed emphasis on treating the women as the best among you, and then women, you know, submit to your husbands and submit in the biblical sense, not submit like, you know, Muhammad, you're going to get a fresh one if you don't do exactly what I say, but submit meaning respect the authority in the household and love your husband. So this is something that we've known for a long time. These are truths that we believe to be self-evident. And I do think, and you guys can tell me if you've noticed this or you think I'm wrong, but I think it's forced a lot of people to reexamine issues they thought they were liberal on. You know, people have gone, I've had people go back to the same-sex marriage issue and say, you know, I really just thought conservatives were just a bunch of anti-gay bigots. But now when I go back and I see some of the arguments, whether I agree with them or not, but I see some of the arguments where people said, you know what, I just don't believe men and women are interchangeable. I do believe that a father is of intrinsic value and a mother is of intrinsic value and that they are unique and not interchangeable. You know what, Steven, once we said that's not the case culturally, we kind of opened the floodgates. And yeah. I've had people say, you know, I have to look back and see where we went around the bend.
Steven Crowder from Louder with Crowder, I think you're exactly right. And I'm seeing it in not just this, but in many things, sitting in Los Angeles with liberals who would have, you know, just thought that we were all just racist bigots for the last 10 years, actually sitting around a table and them saying, you know what, I'm actually for the 10th Amendment. And I thought that was all racist. And now suddenly I find myself going, yeah, maybe we should have that 10th Amendment. And then realizing, holy cow, wait a minute, I may have been wrong on this. What I have to reevaluate a lot. That is happening. And if we can open our arms and not say, yeah, told you so, and just be decent human beings with the open mind and honest arguments, I think we will welcome a lot of people into the fold. Steven Crowder, louderwithcrowder.com. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again, Steven. Appreciate it. This Google stuff is such nonsense. It's really like saying, we're going to serve more salads at Hooters, and that way we're going to bring in all the women. No, women might like salads more than men, but there might be something bigger happening in your restaurant.
So you're saying you hate men? Is that what you're saying? You hate men?
Yeah,
you're fired.
Yeah.
That's essentially the story.
That's exactly what's happening.
That's amazing.
And that's, I mean, that's not true. Look at the stats. Look at what's really happening.
The science is clear on this. This is a scientific study about this exact thing. Why the differences between men and women as they go into the field of IT. Our results suggest that men and women share some, but not all, motivations for entering IT. Both groups cited opportunity for job autonomy, advancement, task variety, professional prestige, income, and use of state-of-the-art equipment, along with gratifying work. There were also notable differences. For example, men were significantly more likely than women to identify love of technology and computers as a key motivator. Women, on the other hand, more often indicated that job security, ease of entry, and flexible work hours were primary reasons for entering the profession. Well, you're going to get those are totally different motivations that obviously...
And if you want to... And so what he was saying was, look, if you want to have more women, then these are the things we need to look at.
Yeah, target those things.
We target those things, and you will attract more women. How is this hateful? How is this a fireable offense? And what does this say about us as a culture where we can no longer really have any kind of intellectual discussion about any topic without losing your job? Back in a minute.
Mercury.
If you thought the country had gone mad a minute ago, wait until we play the audio of some woman who was told on an airplane, wow, nice dress. Oh my gosh, wait until you hear the rant and what this woman is saying and who this woman is in just a second. First, we want to bring you up to speed on a story we covered a couple of days ago. If you remember, the parents of Bubby Cruzan, Russell Cruzan, the baby that was born and has the same disease that Charlie Gard had. We had the parents on. They're from Wisconsin, I believe, or Michigan. And they were really happy and bubbly. And we asked them, you know, how are things going? They said great things about their insurance company, which may change. their insurance company, which was Priority Health, I believe. And they said everything was being covered, and now it's not. We got to get this story. Bubby Cruzan's mother, Michelle, is on the phone. Also, dad, Russell, is on the phone. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good.
Good. So tell me what happened, because we were hearing good things about this insurance company 2 days ago.
Well, about an hour after our interview with you on Tuesday, we heard from our local hospital. They were the ones that were working on the prior authorization. They had received a denial from Priority Health, stating that they will not cover the mito specialist in Boston because she's a geneticist and he sees a geneticist here. They don't understand that there's a difference between, you know, a mito specialist and a geneticist around here.
Right, and the geneticist that you have there in Michigan is saying that I'm the wrong kind of specialist.
Yep. They're obviously doing everything that they can, but they don't really have experience with his condition.
So now, what are you guys going to do? Are you appealing this? What is the name of the insurance company again?
Priority Health.
Priority Health.
Yeah, we're working on an appeal right now, and we're also working with Boston Children's Hospital to see if they will allow us to make the appointment right now without insurance approval and, you know, possibly end up having to pay out of pocket. We just want to do everything we can to get little Russell to a doctor that can help him.
Well, here again, we are seeing, insurance providers. In England, it was the state. In America, it is. I'm sorry, what is the name of the company again?
Priority Health.
Priority Health. Here we're seeing, Stu, will you just remind me of that in case I forget again?
I don't remember the name. What was the name again? I'm sorry.
Priority Health.
Priority Health.
Got it.
Here we're seeing a company that decides that they know better than the actual doctors do. That's weird because the state over in England, we're listening to the doctors here in a capitalist free market system. A company like...
And who was the company?
Priority Health.
Okay.
They think they know better than even the doctors, which is interesting. Boy, that probably should be... I wonder if they have a website or if they have a Facebook... Jeffy, could you look up Priority Health? See if they have a Facebook page. Oh, my gosh, they don't like it. Health. Companies don't like it when you start to tweet their name and say, you know, things like, how could you do what the healthcare system did to Charlie Gard? We going to run the clock out on this child, too? Huh. Do they have a Facebook page?
Look it up.
It's Priority Health. I'm sure you could find it and maybe tweet Priority Health on that. And ask them how this is good for the family. You have a You Caring page. If you search for Bubby, B-U-B-B-Y, youcaring.com, if listeners wanted to help, give you guys money to be able to pay for it yourself, will the hospital take self-funded people?
We're working on that right now. We believe that if we had the funds to cover it, which right now we don't have any idea how much it would cost, but we've heard that another person said they had a 25-minute appointment there that costs over $2,000. They put the figure around $2,800. But we're hoping if we have the funds, you know, after all of our travel and everything, that we would be allowed to pay out of pocket.
So anyway, so you're just trying to get enough money to buy the airline tickets and the first doctor's appointment?
We're working on it. Yeah, thankfully Miracle Flights reached out to us after your show. Thank you so much. And they might help with that, but we still have lodging costs, obviously food for when we're there, any expenses related to
the appointment. Hold on. Guys, we are talking about $10,000 probably maximum. This audience should be able to do that in the next 10 minutes. Could you please go to youcaring.com and just search for Bubby Cruzan, B-U-B-B-Y-C-R-U-Z-A-N. It's hashtag Bubby. Look for Bubby Cruisin'. And if you can, $5. I mean, the people in this audience, just giving $5 at a time, we should be able to make a difference. So this couple can go get just an initial appointment to see if their baby can be helped. So we can fight the other battle with, what's the name of the healthcare company again?
Priority Health.
Priority
and
Health.
And it looks like Priority Health is on Facebook, and they also have LinkedIn. I mean, they're all over the
Twitter, really, at Priority Internet. Health, Facebook.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. They're one of the largest ones in the country.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Priority.
And then what's their Facebook page?
They should have, like, the most money, and they just don't want to cough it up.
I think to get the Facebook page, you just go to Facebook.com and search for Priority Health.
Priority Health. Program. That's how you do it? Mm-hmm. Facebook.com. And I know companies, they like to hear on their Facebook page, and they like to see on Twitter. They like to see people, you know, point out all of the wonderful things that they have done. Now, absolutely, sometimes companies don't like it when you point out the heartless things that they might be forgetting to do. But I'm sure they have just forgotten that they, the business that they all, you know, dreamt about getting into when they were kids and they were on the playground. Someday I'm going to be an actuary.
Well, yeah.
Someday I'm going to be an insurance agent for Priority Health. I'm sure they've just forgotten those dreams from the playground and forgotten that they're there to help heal people.
You would assume by the name Priority Health that health is a priority.
Yeah, you would. You would.
You
would.
Yeah, you would think okay. that. But.
They've got a feedback button on their website, too.
Do they really?
Priority Health.
Priority Health
feedback and sends them a secure email.
That's very interesting.
So let's say you had $5 and you could go to youcaring.com and you could help this couple raise money. So we don't, as a capitalist free society, do exactly to these parents what England's healthcare system did just a few weeks ago. Let's show the world that that's not the way capitalism works, that that's not the way free people behave. Let's get them into an appointment, and let's say you have time after that, you might go to Facebook and to Twitter and just tweet something to Priority Health in a very nice, reasoned way, because I'm sure they just need to be reminded that health is their priority. Guys, thank you so much. Michelle, Russell.
Thank you.
We'll check in with you again. God bless.
If you go to @WorldOfStew, by the way, on Twitter, I tweeted the, and I'm sure @Glenbeck will have it tweeted as well, the link to the You Caring page. So make sure you can actually find it. And if you wanted to find any of the social sites, if you search Google for Priority Health, you will see some
of those. Is that the insurance company?
That's the insurance company. They were actually just talking about
it. Priority Health.
Priority Health is the name of it.
The one that they paid to give their health priority, and then the doctors say, no, I'm a different kind of DNA specialist. I'm really not a geneticist that can do this kind of work. And so the hospital and the doctor said they should go to this particular specialist, and Priority Health said, no, that person's good enough for you. Oh.
Hmm.
Huh. I wonder how much Priority Health's... we should look into Priority Health, because I bet they're not gouging people's eyes out at all. No. I bet they would love us to spend a day, several days, a frickin' month going over what they do. Maybe I could take, you know what? If Priority Health doesn't see the error of their ways, I'm going to dedicate Monday as an open phone day, and I will take the phone calls of all of the Priority Health customers that maybe feel their eyes are being gouged out. And we'll take those calls and we'll let America know how much their health is a priority for Priority Health.
Of course, we should give them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah,
right?
I know. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to find the error of their ways. And I think they're going to be able to say, you know what, that was crazy because we misunderstood. It's not the same kind of doctor, and we don't know more than what the experts in the field know. And so we're going to we're going to make this a priority. But in case...
What, health?
In case they would like some extra free publicity, I'm going to help them have all of the free publicity that I can possibly provide. And, you know, you always say, I don't want to talk to the salesman. I want to talk to the customers. So if they're such a great insurance company, which I'm sure they are, they won't have any problem having customers call up and give them a free commercial all frickin' Monday. But I'm sure they're going to wake up. I love you. I love this audience. So in a moment of arrogance or maybe clarity, I said, you know, in 10 minutes we can do 10 grand to help this family out. It's been 4 since I said that, and how far are we away?
We're still $900 away. Which
still $900
is
away.
Really disappointing. I mean, yeah. Gosh, what
in
happened?
In 4 minutes. What happened? You raised $10,000 in 4 minutes.
This audience is amazing with this stuff. They just, you know, you can go through the news and listen to the news every day and feel like there is no hope for society. And then we talk about these stories, and this audience acts the way that they do, and you get
every
hope.
Time.
Every time. It's rejuvenated every single time.
There's nobody giving $1,000. This is people giving. This is widow mite stuff. This gives me so much hope. Imagine what these parents are feeling right now, because they're at home refreshing their You Caring page right now. It's going to mean the difference between getting their son to a doctor in Boston to be able to stay on course and stay on track to possibly save his life, or just issue a death warrant. They are at home right now refreshing. Think about how they feel right now, the gratitude they feel towards you and the gratitude I feel towards you. You're an amazing group of people. Thank you for listening.